freedom is actually scarier than enslavement, because we are already so programmed to be enslaved by one thing or another, that is our underlying story that we're playing and that we're taking throughout all these things. It actually takes so much courage to be free.
You're listening to the Feed Your Wild podcast, a conscious lifestyle show about all things nourishing for your body, mind, and soul. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, and join me for candid conversations with changemakers, exploring health and wellness, food as medicine, intuition and spirituality, and nature-based practices that will transform your health and feed all parts of your wild self. Hello, welcome back to Feed Your Wild. This is your host, Vanessa Rodriguez, Akashic Record reader, functional nutritionist, and intuitive nourishment guide. How you doing, fam? It has been quite a week. I am pre-recording this, so as you are listening to this, it is the election week, and it is not over yet. So perhaps by the time you hear this, we know who the president is. And at this point, at the time of this recording, we do not. And so I'm in this liminal space that we have all been in for those of us in the United States. And really feeling so much of, I think, a lot of the themes that we've been exploring over this podcast over the past year, since the beginning of the year, this theme of self-sovereignty, the theme of perseverance, self-care, and nourishment, how incredibly important all of that is right now in the midst of so much, I'll call it inflammatory events, really, because it's causing inflammation within our bodies, within our energy body, within our minds, within our communities, in the media, between nations. It's just so incredible what we are going through right now, and incredibly traumatic for a lot of people. So I hope that this podcast at least can bring some solace, some moments of ease and peace for you, some clarity, motivation, perhaps lighting of certain fires that you're looking to light up. And really, that's all I can hope for this podcast, is that it's supportive for you in any way, especially during these times. So today I'm really excited because we are talking about human design. I will not go into what human design is in this intro because our incredible guest, Jazz, who we will introduce you to in just a moment, does a beautiful job of painting the picture of the complexity of human design, what it is, and how it is so incredibly supportive for us as individuals and as a collective when it comes to answering these really big existential questions. Who am I? What am I here to do? What is the best way for me to move forward in this world? All of those questions, if not answered directly, will at least be tended to by diving into your human design. I mention in the interview how I came across human design probably a decade ago, and I was not ready for it. And I am glad that it was seeded so long ago so that I can fully understand and be aware of it in more modern times, in more recent years. It has been such a profound tool and system for understanding not just myself and my partner, my family members, but also when it came to supporting my clients. I dove all in with human design once I really found out how comprehensive it is in helping us to understand ourselves. And as you'll learn, part of my journey here is to really to learn things at an incredibly deep level on a personal level, and then be able to share that and teach that with others. And so I'm so happy to be able to share human design with all of you who may not be familiar with human design. And maybe some of you have gone down this rabbit hole and are fully immersed, or perhaps even practitioners. I would say if you have the time today to listen, to access your own chart, which will give you some instructions on how to do that, and follow along with your chart in front of you so that you can take notes and get even more jewels and pearls of wisdom connecting with your unique design. Before we dive into what we cover in this episode, I do want to mention that doors are open to my 90-day Akashic Transformational Mentorship. Spots are closing out because this is such a high-touch mentorship program. I only open up doors quarterly throughout the year and very limited spots, and they're filling up. So if you are interested, you heard about it in last week's episode. In our monthly Akashic Soul Nourishment reading for November, I give a lot longer introduction and description of the 90-day Akashic Transformational Mentorship. So go ahead and listen to that if you have not heard it. It's in the first part of our last episode. But to give you a quick snapshot, it's a 90-day accelerated mentorship program to help you break through chronic health challenges and reconnect you with your soul purpose. This is a private one-on-one program that incorporates Akashic records. So yes, I will train you on accessing your Akashic records, connecting intuitively with your guides, and expanding your intuitive capacities and abilities. We also dive into functional nutrition, intuitive coaching, habit change, mindset, and belief work. And yes, I weave in your human design, your natal chart, medical astrology. So we bring all the tools for you so that we can get extremely focused on what it is that you are here to do, to be, and to create. Together, we build a customized program for your unique body, mind, spirit. You can go to wildlyrooted.com/90-day, and I'll also have the link in the show notes to read more about this program and the structure and how it's set up. It's an immersive 90-day mentorship, so we will be meeting regularly in sessions. You'll have me in your back pocket, literally through a communication app called Telegram, and we go all in. So that you have greater clarity, connection, and a customized plan to support your biggest challenge in your health and soul path. I'm so committed to supporting you in breaking through those blocks that are holding you back from living the life that you are meant to, because it is time. I am so fired up about all of us waking up and actually living in alignment with who we are, because we need each of you, this collective, this world, these massive changes that we are experiencing together. It's only going to amplify. It's going to get more intense. And we need you to be able to step up and share your gifts, which you are here, which you are meant to be and do in this world. So that's my purpose here, is to help support you in opening that up, connecting to it, and lighting a fire under it so it can spread. And if this resonates for you and you feel really called to learn more and step in, then I invite you to go check out the webpage to learn more and to apply so that we can hop on a call together and see if this is a good fit for you. The last thing I want to share is just a note that I received from a client who went through the 90-day program with incredible shifts and results. Kelly said, "I initially signed up for the 90-day Akashic Transformational Mentorship to learn more about tapping into my intuition. This program far exceeded my expectations. I not only learned to access my Akashic records, but I also learned to find myself, my true path, and my inner harmony. It's been amazing and truly life-changing. Thank you, Vanessa, for everything you have done for me. And I'll tell you what, that was Kelly, and she is a freaking rock star, and she showed up for herself in such a radical and committed way. And that's really what it takes if you want to bring true transformation to your life. You are ready. You are amped up. You know that there's going to be some shadows and some blocks and some heaviness you got to move through, but you are ready and you're here for it. So that's who this program is created for. And if that feels like it is you right now, then I really invite you to connect in with me. And no strings attached, we'll have a conversation to see if this is a good fit. I can't wait to connect with you and meet you on the other side. All right, so coming back to this episode with Jazz, we dive into what is human design, how Jazz was called to human design, and how her existential questions about her purpose had led her down this path of trying all these different modalities and eventually guiding her into this beautiful system, which she has now incorporated into her own work and her purpose here in supporting others. Jazz does a full breakdown of each type, strategy, authority, and profile. And if you don't know what those are, you will soon learn. And Jazz says that focusing on these four things will be the catalyst for the deepest transformation in your life. Jazz has advice for how to begin living your design and breaking through the conditionings that have been on autopilot for your entire life. We also talk about how human design and fully living your uniqueness leads to your self-sovereignty and why it's critical that we tap into this sovereignty right now. We talk about the various different ways of digesting, and Jazz gives an amazing case study of how there is no one right way to eat or digest, and how we can actually glean more information about our unique way of digesting through human design. I love the way that Jazz talks about our bodies as time traveling machines and how she always comes back to the body as our primary guide in this work. We talk about human design's unique way of being able to lift us up out of the hamster wheel of survival and lack mentality and unconscious ways of living and being. Jazz and I share a little bit about our respective human design, what we have in common, and also personal stories around human design. There's so many ahas that I have about my family and relationships that have been illuminated through this system. I'm so excited for you to dive in if you have not yet. All of the websites that we mention and the resources will be in the show notes that's on my website at wildlyrooted.com/podcast, or click the link in the show notes to access that so that you can follow along. As always, I'd love to hear your feedback, so reach out to me on Instagram, comment on the posts, DM me, or even email me. If you're not already on my email list, that's the best way to stay in touch and to also get access to exclusive offers and discounts and information that you're not going to receive anywhere else. All right, so let's dive into this episode, All in Human Design with Jazz. Hey, welcome back to Feed Your Wild. I'm so beyond excited today because we finally have someone who is talking about human design, and I'm thrilled with who we have today. Our guest, Jazz, is a human design guide and empowerment coach here to awaken and align you to your soul's purpose, self-sovereignty, and material abundance. She works with leaders, seekers, and CEOs who are ready to activate even deeper into their soul purpose. Through the lens of human design, she suspends the space that is needed for you to release those sabotaging beliefs, holding your true identity hostage, ultimately returning you back to your most authentic and abundant state of being. Jazz, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Vanessa. I'm so excited to be here and just dive right in.
Yeah, it's going to be juicy. I want to dive right in. There's so much. I feel that we're going to be covering today. As I had mentioned before we hopped on, there's probably a really big mix of folks that are really into design. They know their human design. They're like in it, maybe some human design practitioners even. And then those that are like, what? What the heck is human design? So we'll try to walk this line that is sort of in the middle so that we're both informing. But I always feel coming back to the basics and foundation, no matter how advanced or deep in it, is always incredibly helpful. At least that's what I found. But before we dive in, I would love to hear how you first got started in human design. What pulled you to this system and really deciding to practice this as like what you do?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And it's so interesting because I don't really get that question asked so much. So I have to like take a moment to think back in a timeline version. But ultimately, before I even knew anything about human design, and really before I even knew anything about astrology, because astrology is one of the ancient wisdoms that are tied into the greater picture of what human design kind of carries within it. And I didn't really know anything about my human design, but I was technically already living it. And that's really what's happening with all of us. We necessarily don't know the details of our human design, but we are absolutely already in tune with that soul self, that higher self. And I have been doing that my entire life. I've been trying all these different things, seeing which things work, seeing which things really light me up, seeing which things I really wanted to do and the things that I didn't want to do. But ultimately, what kind of brought me to the doorway of human design was this deep yearning to understand who I was identifying as and what I was here to do. So those were the two questions that I kept asking myself day and night. I would stay up all night like ruminating, trying to figure out an answer to those questions, or I would stay up all day reading and researching and trying to find a pathway that would show me so clearly who I was and why I came here. Why are we all here? What is the point of all of this? It can't be just to be born, go to school, get a job, get married, have kids, and die. I knew that there was something way more intrinsic going on, and I really wanted to understand what that was. So like I said, I tried almost everything under the sun, every type of healing modality, every type of meditation, every type of hypnosis, every type of somatic therapy and embodiment, all these different things. And finally, human design, I feel like human design found me. I think I was listening to a podcast that had someone, maybe it wasn't a podcast. I don't even remember. Maybe it was a YouTube. I don't even remember the channel, but I remember watching. And this person was talking about generator this and projector that. And I was like, oh, I wonder what I am, because I keep asking, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? And when we ask and are seeking enough, the answer usually comes to us in a way that we're not even aware of. And so I was like, oh, I'm definitely a projector, because everything that she was saying at that time in the video that I was watching, I was like, oh, that definitely sounds like me. But then I put all my natal information in. It turns out I was a generator. And I was like, I don't agree with this. I'm not a generator. I'm not any of these things. And so I was like, you know what? Let me do a deeper dive. So I bought all the books, did all the things. And the more that I researched it and the more that I meditated with myself, I was like, this is me. This is me. But I was carrying around so much outside conditioning that I couldn't see that this was me. So human design has been such like catalyst to me really understanding and getting my answer of who am I and why am I here? Me. But I had to decondition. First, I had to see what all the conditionings were. And then I had to decondition from that. So that's like the long / short story of that.
Incredible. Yeah. You know, it makes me think, I think I first found human design years ago. I would think it was around my mom when she was sick and before her passing. So this was like over 10 years ago. But honestly, I came across it and I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I was like, this is so complicated. I don't understand any of this. And so I just glazed over and moved on. And now looking back, I realize, oh man, if I would have dived in, I would have had so many questions answered, but it probably wasn't meant for me to do so, because I'm meant to learn by doing and trial and error, right?
What's your profile?
3-5.
Yeah.
Me too.
Woohoo! Yes, and then I somehow came back to it a few years ago, and I was like, oh, now everything makes sense, you know? So for those who are like, okay, well, what is this human design? Can you give us like the quick and dirty version of what human design is?
Yeah, for sure. So human design is essentially a natal type system. It weaves together modern and ancient wisdoms like astrology, I Ching, the Kabbalah, Hindu chakra system, quantum physics. And essentially you just put your natal information in the same way that you would do your astrological chart, date of birth, time of birth, place of birth, into any type of human design system generator. You can find one online anywhere. A lot of people really like mybodygraph.com or Genetic Matrix or Jovian Archive. There's so many. You can literally just type it in your search and you're going to get this chart that literally looks like maybe a puzzle piece or something, like a puzzle. It has lines jumping out of it and shapes, and some things are colored in and there's different colors and numbers and symbols and all these types of things. But essentially, it's giving you the blueprint to your energetic DNA and how you chose to come here and communicate your message with the world. So it tells us so many things, how we're meant to make decisions, how we're meant to communicate with one another, how we're meant to sleep, eat, digest life, information, how we're here to find our purpose, unearth that purpose, and share that message with the world. And that's really the part that I really work with.
It's so juicy. There's so much. Like, I've been using the foundation to basics with clients because it's been so helpful to, you know, understand, especially around health and soul path. And I know there's like a million other layers I can go deeper, but I'd love to tap into some of the basics for people to get an understanding. And maybe some people like have done their chart. So for those listening, if you want to participate actively, then I would pause this, go onto a browser, click any one of those links that I'm sure I'm going to have in the show notes so that you guys can find your graph and then you can follow along based off of what you're listening. So let's dive into the foundations. Where would you say is a good place to start when we're looking? We like got our chart and now we're like, okay, what now?
Absolutely. And I think the foundation, even as deep as I go with some of my clients, and especially in the soul purpose and like business realm, I always, always bring it back to the basics, because it doesn't matter if you know every single symbol, like number, gate, all the things. All that matters are the foundations to everything. And that's what you said at the beginning of this. So if you're just starting out, don't worry about trying to know all the things. Just focus on your type, strategy, authority, and profile. Those four things will literally be the catalyst for the deepest transformation that you may experience in your life. So we'll start off with the types. There are 4/5 types. One of the types are a hybrid. So I'll go through those first. And those individual types have a strategy attached to them. So everyone that is a manifestor has the same strategy. Everyone that is a projector has the same strategy, and so on and so forth. Then we'll touch upon a little bit about the authority, which is your decision-making power, and then your profiles, which is how you essentially see the lens out into the world. So we'll see how much we can get through before it gets to be so much information. Because when you first hear this stuff, it's like so many things coming at you, but just kind of relax and allow the information to just stream into you and not try to pick it so deeply. So we'll start off with the types. So I'll start off with manifestors. If you run your chart and you see that your type is a manifestor, you will also see that your strategy is to inform. And the reason why this is your strategy, because manifestors have this way of sending their energy out into the world. And sometimes that can rub people the wrong way because they're so focused, they're so fierce in the way that their energy is moving out into the collective, that they could get an urge to do something and they're already out of the door before they finish their sentence. So the reason why their strategy is to inform is to make sure that they're kind of using their energy to build help if they need it. So they would say, oh, I'm going to be doing this thing. Do you want to join me? So it's not necessarily asking for permission. It's more about, here, this is the way that my energy is about to move. You can either join me or you can get out of my way. And that's just essentially how the manifestor's auric field is building. So some manifestors may be growing up You could have felt like no one understands you, no one gets you. People think that you're bossy. People think that you're nitpicky, all those types of things, because manifestors just, like I said, have this fierce energy. And once they see something, once they see a goal ahead, they really just want to get to that goal by any means necessary. But they also have to remember that because they don't have what's called like a sacral, which is the thing that gives you so much energy to do all the things, they really are here to be the leaders of a team. They still need help. They still need a team. And so to ensure that like the safety that your team members feel, you're really going to want to inform them about the decisions that you've already made within you. And again, not asking for permission, just simply saying, this is the way that my energy is moving. So those are manifestors. Then we're going to move to projectors. And projectors have a very penetrating aura. So they essentially are seeing things that no one else can see. These are our teachers, our guides. These are the people that maybe are our healers. And basically what's happening with their energetic makeup is that because it's so penetrating, their strategy is to wait for an invitation or a recognition. And what this is doing is it's saving them from having to be rejected. I always think of projectors as having this very scorpionic vibe where some people can't handle it because it's so intense and they're not really here to do all the things. Like their energy is not set up in a way for them to do all the things. These are, like I said, people that are guides, right? So they can see how the systems are at play and they're like, okay, that's not working. But if you invite me into this space, I can show you how to perfect it. So a lot of projectors oftentimes feel bitterness as to why their thing isn't working and other people's are working, or maybe they're feeling stuck. And it's because they haven't received that energetic invitation. And when I say invitation, it just simply means that someone is saying, wow, you're so good at that thing, or I love the way that you do that thing, or can you show me that thing, or can you share more about X, Y, and Z? And that in itself is an invitation, because that's how you know that when you as a projector come into the space to share your views, it will be highly received. So your strategy is to wait for the invitation. If you're not waiting for the invitation, you're going to feel a sense of bitterness. If you are waiting for the invitation, you're going to feel a deep sense of success. And for manifestors, if you are informing correctly, you're going to feel such a deep peace. If you are not informing correctly, you will feel anger.
Can I just like really quickly, because the thing with projectors, I found out this year that both of my parents were projectors, and which blew my mind, because if I were to guess, I would have said they were generators. And I think this really spoke, it continues to, especially for my dad, who continues to operate as if he's a generator and like burns himself out, that it speaks to the deep conditioning, especially them as like, they're first generation, you know, immigrants, and like, I gotta work really hard. My dad working two jobs. I really felt like that kind of conditioning is what set my mom up for creating disease in her body. And like, so now that I'm hearing this and having a deeper understanding of projector, also, by the way, my dad has a t-shirt he got made that says, let me drop everything and solve your problem, like work on your problem. And he's not into human design. He doesn't know any of that shit.
But he knows it in his soul, though.
He does. Yes. So anyway, I just wanted to speak to that for anybody who's listening in, who's maybe like, oh, like it says I'm a projector, but I've been doing all these things. And, you know, Jazz, you spoke to how that was really surprising for you, too. But anyway, yeah. So.
Yeah. No, I love that you brought that up right before I'm about to share about generators and manifesting generators, because this is going to give us the reason as to why the majority of the world is conditioned to work so hard. And this is because 70% of the people on this planet are either generators or manifesting generators. So these are the people that are literally ruling society in the sense of creating the schedule of work, right? So projectors are only 20%. And then manifestors are 9% and reflectors are 1%. So there is about 30% of people who are being conditioned by the buzzing bees that are generators and manifesting generators to work, 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 create, 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 constantly be on a schedule, And that is totally incorrect for those non-sacral beings. So generators and manifesting generators are what they're called, sacral beings. And this is because if you have your chart up, you're going to see that you have that red square closer to the bottom, defined or colored in red. And you are a busy bee, essentially. You have so much deep energy to create and create and create and create and create. And this is totally correct for you. Any person would be so lucky to have a generator or a manifesting generator on their team, because these are the people that really have the capacity and the ability to get things done over time, right? So projectors have this capacity to get things done in short bursts, but then they need a lot of rest to rejuvenate themselves. Same with manifestors and same with reflectors. But generators are here to actually work until they are exhausted, like a really good exhaustion. And the caveat here to working until exhaustion is that the work that you're doing as a generator and a manifesting generator has to be so damn satisfying. If you are working from a should, could, would mentality, you're going to feel that deep sense of the not self theme, which is frustration. And for manifesting generators, anger and frustration, because they're the hybrid between manifestors and generators. So it is so eternally important that if you are a sacral being, you have to be doing the thing that lights you up. Like you have to be so giddy going to sleep that you know the only reason why you're going to sleep is so that you can wake up the next morning refreshed to keep doing the same thing that you were doing yesterday. If you do not feel like that, you have to reevaluate. You have to. And we can't step in with the, oh, but I need money for my job, or, oh, I need, yes, those are very real needs. But I assure you that there is a pathway that is so clear and concise that you can step onto that will activate that sacral. Because what happens is that all types can, like you said, if they're living out of alignment, have disease in the body. And this is what happens, same with generators and manifesting generators. If they're doing things and they're using their beautiful life force energy for things that are not in alignment with who they are, they will feel this feeling of frustration. And they're really meant to feel a deep sense of satisfaction. So in order to double check, to make sure that your energy is being used, your strategy is waiting to respond. And it's slightly different than projectors, where projectors are kind of needing that their energy to be invited into the collective. You simply are just waiting to feel that gut response in your body. And for everyone, all of the intelligence lives within our body. So for myself as a generator, I have learned and had to really retrain myself that if I'm sending an email that does not, like I literally am just drudging it. I'm like, oh my God, I got to send this email. I will wait until I have so much lit upness feeling in my body, maybe from working out, maybe from eating a snack, maybe from going on a walk or listening to a podcast or whatever it is, so that I can bring that lit up energy into the email, because we are energetic beings and everything that we touch is just an energetic exchange, right? So for generators and manifesting generators, I invite you to really take inventory of what are the things that you're doing all day, every day, and are they actually feeding that fire within you, feeding that fire within that sacral energy center? And if it's not, you have to reevaluate that. You have to, because here's the joke. Generators and manifesting generators can burn out just like all the other non-sacral beings. And they're burning out not because they don't have the energy, but because they're using the energy in the incorrect way. So that's really the reason why, you know, the world technically is like conditioned to work so hard, is because we're kind of mirroring generators and manifesting generators, but we're not mirroring the aligned generators and manifesting generators. And that's what I'm hoping, that with spreading this message, that, you know, more of these sacral beings and non-sacral beings will become in alignment with how to use their energy. So those are the four types. So the fifth and final one is reflectors. And reflectors are only 1% of the population, super rare unicorn vibes. And they have no definition in their centers, in their chart. And they're really here to be our mirrors. They're really here to be like the divine mirrors of the collective. They're the ones that are saying like, wow, okay, what we've been doing is no longer working, and this is the way that we need to pivot. So for reflectors, you're here to really just sample a bunch of different energies. You go into different groups and you're really picking up on the health and the success of the groups or the people that you're around. And that's why it's so incredibly important to curate who you're around, because you pick up on their energy so deeply and it very much imprints your identity. So your strategy is to wait a full lunar cycle. And this is really to give you time, because you are moving in and out of so many different energetic rooms, so to speak, that you're not going to really want to make a decision or move forward on something until you have that lunar cycle. And I have a friend that's a reflector, and I asked her, does this actually resonate with you to wait 28 days? She said, absolutely, because I'm feeling so many things throughout the month. And then all of a sudden at the end of the month, I'll just get this ping that's like, oh yeah, that's the thing I need to do, because I've sampled how this is going to work out, how that's not going to work out, how that person's feeling, how I'm feeling, how that project feels. And they need the cycle of the moon to really activate those different angles of perspective. So those are all the five types.
I think it's so beautiful to, especially with the reflector and the moon, like I just get so inspired listening to all of them that I kind of want to like incorporate a little bit of all that in my own experience. Is that something that, like, you know, people can do? I mean, obviously sticking and really like living with through your type strategy authority. But do you see that like components or elements, there's like some cross weaving there at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because all of this, all of, you know, human design is just archetypes, and archetypes based off of us, right? So we all have all the zodiacs within us. We all have all the houses within us. We all have, because we're constantly being in connection with one another and also the planetary vibrations. So today, you know, if you pull your chart up on genetic matrix, and there's something that is called transits, which is a little bit deeper into human design, but you can actually track the stars and your chart at the same time. And it will show you, maybe today you feel like a manifesting generator, even though your birth chart says that you are a projector. So it's so different from day to day. And we can absolutely tap into, just like the same way that we tap into the full moon and the new moon, is the same way that we can tap into all these other energies through the transits. So for today, it's telling me that I am still a generator, but I have so many more centers in my chart activated than I would normally in my birth chart. And so this is giving me maybe a different flavor, so to speak. So right now I have a very defined throat. So the way that I'm speaking is very consistent. It's very accurate. It's very me, right? But normally when I'm just not in the transit flow of what's going on with the planets, I have a completely open throat. So this is me staying a little bit more quiet until I get the urge to say something. So yes, we can absolutely tap into so many different variations of all these things. I mean, the well is endless.
Yeah. Thanks for breaking that down. That's the first time I heard that. So really insightful. So is it profiles that's next, or are we talking about authorities within that?
Yes, we'll do authorities first, because authorities is really important, because this is the way that we are meant to make these like medium to large decisions or small decisions, however you choose. It's human design is just giving you the information, and then you have to use your intuition as a guideline for what feels good and what does not. So I always say, take what resonates and leave the rest. Maybe at a later time, it will resonate, maybe not. So like I said, authority is really us taking back our sovereignty. This is really us choosing what is correct for us, not what is right and not what is wrong, but what is correct. And that's why the languaging, when we talk about authority, has to be so important and clear, because I always remind people that what you're doing is not right or wrong. It is simply correct for your energetic type makeup. So we'll go through all of them, and I'll just do like a little blurb, because there's seven. So I'll start off first with the sacral authority. And sacral authority is only going to be for my generators and manifesting generators. And if you have this as your sacral authority, You are really here to feel into that gut response. So a lot of times people say, oh, follow your gut. But this is actually only correct for generators and manifesting generators. And I always find it so funny when I go to those like inspirational quote pages on Instagram and it says like, follow your gut. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, what about my projectors, reflectors, and manifestors?
Yeah.
They don't have this gut response. Their authority is something totally different. So yes, for you generators and manifesting generators, you all are really here to follow that gut response. And that gut response is really living within the body. So do not make a decision until you feel that, yes, And that's what you're going to hear from a lot of generators and manifesting generators. Whenever they're in agreeance or disagreeance, they'll have this noise that comes out of them because it's their body literally making a response like, So I would really ask for you guys to honor that because you're not just making those oohs and ahs and yeses and squeals for no reason. This is your body speaking to you. Your body is literally saying, oh, yes, let's do that thing or that doesn't feel good. And you don't need to know why, because the decisions do not come from our mind. They come from the intelligence of our body. They come from the unconscious knowledge that lives within our body. So if you have an emotional authority, it'll say emotional authority, solar plexus. You are really here to sleep on your decision. You're not here to make a decision right now in the moment, as opposed to the sacral people. They're making a decisions right now in the moment. And caveat for any sacral and emotional people, they're making the decision over time, but based on their gut. But if you are just straight up emotional, you are not here to make the decisions right now. You need to sleep on it. This is maybe 24 hours, maybe 4 weeks. Like, it's totally up to you. And depending on the decision that you're trying to make, like maybe it's moving in with someone or having a new job or starting a business or whatever this thing is, you really need to give yourself free range to feel all the emotions that come with this decision-making process. Because a lot of the times, emotional solar plexus authority people, they make a decision too fast and they end up regretting it. And so what we want to do is to avoid that regret, because whenever we're in that regret, we're no longer in our sovereignty and in our freedom. So the next authority is the splenic. And if you have this as your authority, you are here to really just know what the decision is in the now moment. And your now moment can change. So my splenic people, I know, you know, it might feel like, oh, I know right now. And then maybe 48 hours later, you're just like, oh, but my spleen is saying something different right now. Okay, well, you're following what is in the moment right now. And this is because the spleen is one of the oldest awareness centers that we have within the chakra system in your chart. And it's basically giving you survival information. It's basically telling you that, like, if you make decision right now, you will survive. If you make this decision right now, you will not survive. So that's why the spleen can sometimes say yes right now, but maybe in 3 weeks, when you actually get to that thing, it's like, oh, this is feeling very fishy. There's something going on that doesn't feel right. Get out now. And so you have to really honor, like I said, the language that your body is speaking to you, because it's so, so, so divine and so, so, so clear. If you have an ego authority, this is all about making decisions that really benefit you. This is an all about me decision maker. This is my heart in this? What do I get from this? Is it really matching my desires? If you making this decision is not matching your desires, then you do not need to be making this decision just because it will help someone else, just because it will benefit the collective, X, Y, and Z. You're really here to be self-full, really all about the self. And because you have this ego authority, this means that you really have to do the work that it takes to be in alignment with a healthy ego, so that when you are making decisions, it's not from a temper tantrum. It really is from a fully worthy standpoint and place. If you have self-projected or G authority, this is you. This is the person that's all about expressing their decision and making a decision that's bringing them in closer alignment with their true identity. So this can look like you having a sounding board, or maybe voice noting, or maybe speaking to someone about the things that you're about to do, but you really are wanting to speak so that you can hear the decision as it comes out of you. Same thing for mental authority people. You want to get in the best environment as possible so that these answers that are really living within your body can make their way out. So the thing with the mental and the ego authority people is that you want to curate who you're sharing this information with. You want to curate who you're sharing this decision-making process with, because you're not looking for advice. You're not looking for advice. I'm just going to say it again. You're not looking for advice. You're literally just looking for someone to be a sounding board, because you're going to know as soon as the answer comes out of your body, you're going to know, oh, yes, that's it. Thank you so much for listening. And that's the end of it. If you are a lunar type, a lunar authority, this is the final authority. Like I said earlier, this is only for reflectors, and you're here to really follow that moon, that celestial body, in the different angles that it moves throughout a 20-day to 29-day cycle. And this just feels right for you. I don't really know why. I'm not a reflector, but the reflectors that I have talked to, it just feels super right for them. So I always invite them to keep like a lunar cycle journal. And this allows them to write down their journey through each day. And they're going to talk about how they're feeling about making this decision on Wednesday. And then when the moon moves in a different apogee, they're going to say, oh, I feel this way. And then by the end of the month, they're going to reread and they're going to know what decision is correct for them. So those are all the authorities.
Wow. It is especially the lunar. I just feel like so much of what I have been conditioned, I know we're talking about this a lot, but I think it's the thing that comes with the conditionings is that it's just what we do at this like subconscious level, because it's been programmed, right? And so I feel like there's so much that we carry that is not ours. There's so much that we're told of how we should be and the way that we should be making decisions, that it supersedes even if we have that little natural inkling that's like inside and whispering, we're going to shut it down. What is some advice based off of, I know you've worked with a lot of people on deconditioning and really stepping into forward into living their design, their authority, their strategies. What has been helpful for people to move away from conditioning and into their design?
Yeah, that's a beautiful question. And it's so interesting too, because when I first got into human design, like conditioning was such a big buzzword. And then I stumbled upon a talk that Ra, the man that channeled human design, said. He said, you know, conditioning is not bad. Conditioning is life. It's just by us breathing that we're being conditioned. You and I are conditioning one another right now. But we get to choose the type of conditioning that we want. And that is where the self-sovereignty comes into play. Because until now, you know, maybe this is your first time someone's telling you that you get to choose the kind of conditioning that you want. Before then, we were just conditioned by whatever program was playing through our parents, whatever program was playing on TV, on the radio, on the news, and the emails, or, you know, advertising, whatever the thing was. We didn't get a choice. And now we have a choice. And so what I always invite my clients to do is to really hone in on the foundations, because the foundation is really where a lot of things break down, right? So let's say that, for example, your dad, right? He's a projector, but he has been conditioned to work out of survival. That's the only reason, right? That is the only reason, because our brain is so primal that it literally is saying, if I do this, I will live. If I don't do this, I will die. It doesn't have an in-between standpoint. And human design is showing us, wow, look at all the possibility probabilities that are out there. I won't die. If anything, I will be so much further away from this sad death of never actually moving through my desired dream life. And so I always invite my clients to start at the very, very beginning, just like we're doing right now. Start with making even small decisions with your authority and see what happens in your body. Your body's going to go into a bit of a shock because now you're starting to live in alignment for you, by you, through you, with you. You have no one else to blame, right? We no longer can have this victim mentality when we have this knowledge, because this knowledge is the next stepping point to our freedom. And what I find a lot of the times is that when I first tell my clients that, you know, you can taste this fruit and be free, a lot of them are like, okay, cool, thanks. And then I won't hear from them for a while. Because it's funny, because freedom is actually scarier than enslavement, because we are already so programmed to be enslaved by one thing or another, that is our underlying story that we're playing and that we're taking throughout all these things. It actually takes so much courage to be free. It actually takes so much courage to say, you know what, that's not working for me. I'm not going to do that thing anymore. Because you're looking the death of the old self in the eyes and saying, I'm not afraid of you anymore. You can go ahead and leave, because I know something is going to be rebirth from this new point. So there's no need to like get into all of the things. But if you can take that one stepping point to make a decision today that is living from your authority, you're going to start seeing things shift. It's just going to be a different perception. The colors are going to be brighter. The air is just going to be, it's just going to feel cleaner. Something about it will change. And I promise you that.
Oh my God, there is so much in what you just said. And I'm going to request everybody to like 15 second backward it to like re-listen to the depth and the truth. Because my entire body was vibrating when you were speaking into that. And I also feel, you know, this podcast, this year, we've been exploring the concept of sovereignty in this day and age in a lot of different areas, especially health and body sovereignty, you know, within the context of corporatized healthcare and the pandemic and the sociopolitical currents and all the things that are happening on the 3D plane. And then, you know, add social media influence into the mix. And how can we begin to reclaim our sovereignty in all these different ways and areas of our lives? And what I'm hearing is that human design and really living your design, fully understanding and accepting, is a pathway to be able to move forward into that sovereignty of choosing your conditioning, the conditioning that's going to serve you and literally change the reality that you're living in.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And it's so funny because as we're having this conversation, I'm thinking of all my very Capricornian, Taurian, grounding people, and they're just like, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
I'm a Capricorn. I'm a full-on Capricorn. I have like 6 planets in Capricorn. So I'm totally feeling you as we're getting and shifting into these like higher dimensions of truth and consciousness. I feel my groundingness being like, okay, let's bring it back down. Let's bring it back down to reality. Okay, so how can this actually be tangibly used for your freedom? And I'm just going to share a little story. I was working with a client, and She actually guides women to heal their gut and to facilitate more healthy habits for them. And so I did a session for her, and I was talking with her, and I looked at her chart, and I saw that her determination, her digestion is called indirect. And this is a whole nother like pathway of human design where you can actually understand how you're meant to nourish your brain and your body and what environments are really good for you and all those types of things. So I was looking at her chart, and I just was like, wow, this is so interesting. She probably has no idea that this is her digestion type. And so I'm talking to her, and I'm, you know, she's telling me how she healed her gut, all these things. And she's saying how she feels guilty about eating late at night because she knows that it's not good for your gut health, da, 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 da. And I'm just laughing to myself because I'm telling her, like, you were literally designed to only eat at night. So all the times that you're like sneaking food to yourself, you're telling yourself, oh, I'm so bad. I'm sneaking this food at night. I'm not supposed to be eating past 8 p.m. That's actually when you're supposed to be starting to eat. that's when you're supposed to start digesting food, not right in the morning when you wake up. So I gave her this information and her mind was like completely blown. She was like, oh my gosh, no, this can't be true. This goes against everything that I have been taught. This is what goes against what I'm teaching other people. And so it was like actually breaking down her paradigm. It was breaking down the conditioning in which she learned how health is supposed to be for everyone. And it's totally untrue. We all have our individual health journeys. So she followed this for a while and she was just like, Jazz, honestly, I can't believe that this stuff actually works. I call her a moon muncher. I call all indirect people moon munchers.
I love
because
that.
They're really meant to eat underneath the light of the moon. And it's one of the most futuristic types of eaters or futuristic types of digestions. And to have this is really to be a catalyst for changing up and shaking up the paradigm of what we believe so staunchly about how we nourish our bodies. So if we had more indirect eating people come out and be like, yeah, this is not the truth for all of us, right? There are some people that are meant to digest at night. And I've had more than one indirect client say this to me, you know, about how they feel bad about nourishing their bodies and da da da, but they always wake up in the middle of the night so hungry. And I'm like, feed yourself, listen to your body. Your body knows how to heal itself. Your body knows how to feed itself. Your body knows how to intake and give out information. And that's really the basis of how I use human design, is to free yourself, to just free yourself from all of the nonsense that we've picked up and to just ask deeper questions, because not everything that is correct for another person is correct for you.
I love this example. And so I've been a nutritionist for 10 years and I cannot believe any other person who's been working in this kind of field can say that there is one diet or one way that works for everyone. I have worked with so many people and see contradicting information constantly, and how the one person thrives and, you know, eating at night or eating a high carb diet, you know, it's like now keto is really big. And it's just so incredible. I was like, knock all of that nonsense. That's all information that's available to you, like as is part of this buffet, but then you get to allow your body to guide you. So I just really appreciate you sharing that story. It's so powerful.
So good. I love that you just, I love the way that you just said it's a buffet. It's a buffet of information. And that's all that it is. Even this right now, this is just a buffet of what's out there. Maybe you're more of an Enneagram person. Maybe you're more of a astrological, like whatever the thing is, don't feel like you have to be tied to one, and to give yourself permission to evolve. That's also freedom.
Well, Jazz, I want to also honor your time, but I would also love to get into the profile. So it's up to
you. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, you're up to it? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start from 1 through 6. So your profile is essentially going to be this like fractionated number. It'll look like maybe a 1-4 or a 3-5, a 6-2, something like that. And so I'll describe the lines in terms of, I'm just thinking how, like, what's the easiest and most digestible way to do this. So I think what I'll do is I will describe what the themes are for the one line. I will describe what the themes are for the two line. And then you can put those two pieces together for yourself. And then obviously do your own research and dive deeper, all the things. So the first line, if you have a 1 in your profile in that fractionated number, this is, first, let me preface by saying that our profile is actually a very powerful part of our makeup. And it's one that I use every single day because I talk about purpose. And this is how we're here to unearth that purpose, is through these numbers. So if you have a first line in your profile, you are here to really get to the bottom of things. First lines are the diggers. They're the investigators. They want to know all the things. They want to know how this works, how that works. And they're not just jumping around. They're picking one thing and they're really diving into the depths of it. These are our researchers. These are the people that write the encyclopedias because they just want to know all the things. And so if you're looking to find your purpose, you're really going to find your purpose through that deep dive. What do you research all the time? What could you learn about every single day? And you could never get tired of it because it has an endless well of knowing. So that's the first line. The second line are what it's what called a hermit in human design. But I really think of these people as magicians because left to their own devices, they have a way of bringing out their own innate gifts and wisdoms in a way that no one else could have seen. It's just a very natural role to them. And because it's so natural, they oftentimes don't see it. And they need the rest of us, the collective, to call them out and be like, whoa, you're so good at that thing. How do you do that thing? Like, how did you know to do that? And so if you have a second line in your profile, you're really going to unearth your purpose in this very natural way. It's probably something that you already do that you can't see for yourself. So what are people always asking you? What are they always asking you to talk about, to share with? What do they call out in you? What do they affirm and recognize in you? That's really going to be the pathway to how you unearth your purpose. If you have a third line in your profile, in traditional human design, this is called the martyr. But I like to think of these people as alchemists. They really understand and know how to mutate and transform energy into something else. And without the third line, our collective consciousness would not be growing at the speed that it currently is, because third lines are constantly experimenting with the world around them. They're trialing and erroring. They are breaking bonds and making bonds. And this is all to really understand how things work. And because they're doing the legwork of how things work, the fourth, fifth, and sixth lines have a better understanding of how to spread a deeper message. So if you have a third line in your profile, you're really going to unearth your purpose through trial and error, through experimentation, through transmutation, through mutation, all those types of experimental vibes. If you have a fourth line in your profile, you are here to really be the connector. In traditional human design, it's called the opportunist, but I call these people the infinite friend. They are the connectors to really everyone. They're the ones that are like, oh, let me put you in touch with this person. Oh, I know that person. And their network is really their net worth, their foundation. This is really where they feel safe to be them. And so if you have a fourth line in your profile, you're going to unearth your purpose through your network, right? So what are some opportunities and jobs and roles that you're getting through your friends, families, friends of family, family of friends, all those types of things? If you have a fifth line in your profile, this in traditional human design is called the heretic, but I like to call these people the great guide. And they are the great guide because they have come to a truth that they are so passionate about, and it is their purpose to universalize this truth. So this is literally spreading the message. I always think of like John the Baptist in this archetype of like screaming from the heavens, like, I have found this truth. Everyone needs to hear this thing. And whoever is ready to hear it, I will be there to teach it. I will be there to guide. I will be there to honor the journey. All those types of like teaching, mentoring vibes come from the fifth line. So if you have a fifth line in your profile, I would ask you, you know, what are you so passionate about teaching? What is a truth that you have come to that you are ready to universalize? Because it takes energy to universalize a truth. This means that you're spreading it out into the collective constantly over and over and over again. So it can't be something that is just feels like drudgery or mundane to you. If you have a sixth line in your profile, the sixth line is kind of interesting because it, for the first 30 years of its life, it very much acts like a third line. So trialing and erroring, bumping into things, this doesn't work, that doesn't work. Oh, what works? And then you come into the second stage of the sixth line around 40, around 30 to 40. And this is all about the integration. So now you are trying to understand what things worked and what things didn't work. And through this integration process, you move into the final phase of the sixth line. And this is all about becoming a role model to the collective. This is all about being the person that answers the questions and knows the answers. And you know these answers because you have gone through a very deep process of experimenting, integrating, and now you are sharing. So that essentially is all of the lines.
I think that there's so much there with like even putting these combinations together and how that expresses in each person. And I also for my own purpose, because I want to know a little bit more about my own profile, but also to use it as an example for others. So I'm a 3-5, so 3 on the top line and then 5 on the bottom. How does one look at these various profiles, these numbers, and then like combine them? What does the top versus the bottom mean?
I love that. Thank you for asking that. So the first line that you're going to see is in your conscious. It's in your conscious mind, your conscious personality. It's what you have seen as a treading thread throughout your whole life. Like, you know for sure that you're a third line. You know for sure that you have trialed all the things. You know for sure that some things did not work and that made you feel a sense of failure or a sense of shame or a sense of guilt. You know that for sure. That is in your conscious. The second number, or the number below the fraction, is just how it feels. It's below. It's the subconscious. It lives within the body. It's something that the body already knows how to do. So for the fifth line, your body already knows how to teach. Your body already knows how to be a mentor, how to be a guide to other people. And so when you take the two together, you are essentially universalizing a truth, teaching a truth that you came to through that trial and error process.
Mm-hmm. 1,000% true.
Yeah.
What is yours? Are you also 3-5?
Yeah, I'm also 3-5.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yes. And so it can be a long journey for 3-5s, you know, because we're constantly on the search for the mutation. And it's all energy. And that's the thing that we have to remember with this, is that we're so quick to personalize everything. And then that quickly puts us into a victim mentality. And then that quickly takes us out of our self-sovereignty. But if we can understand that this is all energy that's just moving through me, I can't stop myself when I need to experiment with something. I can't stop myself from putting together a course or something and it not working out. Like, I cannot stop myself. It's not anything about my identity, about who I am, because I'm identifying so closely with the God within me, that it doesn't say anything about my quote unquote failed launches or my quote unquote failed businesses. These are me just gathering experiences so that I can teach other people how not to do those things, or a variation of what to do that will make me, that will make them or lead them towards success.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And I feel that 100% true in my own experience. And also that, like, looking back, I don't think I've ever made the same quote mistake twice. You know, it's like I learn and then I learn for life and I move on. And I'm so grateful for that. And, you know, not stepping into exactly and not falling into those patterns. So one thing I just wanted to reflect back to people, because I think, you know, anchoring these into stories, and I appreciate you sharing stories and if any other case studies come up for you too. But in my own experience, I feel like, just like you, I had always felt that there was something I was supposed to do. Like, you just have that feeling, that sense. And I didn't know what the heck it was. Like, I had no, you know, people would ask me, what do you want to do when you grow up? That was like, I hated that question, because it was like, I had no freaking clue. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to do something that I don't even know exists yet. That would be my answer.
Exactly.
You know, that I'm sure for you too, that turned out to be true. And so I hear a lot when people come for consultations and Akashic record readings, and so many people right now awakening to, like, what is their path?
Yeah.
One of the things that I have found is that, like, and I'm sure you have too, we all have a connection to it, because it's literally living in our body and in our soul field. And so it's more, what I have found, it's more a matter of following, as you were saying, our design, our natural inclinations that are helping us to move forward in that direction, even if our mind has no freaking clue where we're going. And in terms of human design, how do you see that unfolding for a person? Do you have, like, a story of, you know, someone who's like, what the heck is my soul purpose? And then, like, you know, kind of getting into their design and what that can look like?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I have so many stories. I mean, so many. But I think I'll use myself, because I'm so intimate with my chart and just my own personal journey. Same with you. You know, when people would ask, I actually would say, oh, I want to be a doctor, because that's what my parents wanted me to be.
Right. Me too.
So I would just say whatever the answer was that I was conditioned to say. But I always knew that I was going to be doing something that, like you said, has not been seen or heard or done before. And even if you have heard of human design and it is becoming very popular and more well known, which is amazing, the way that I use it, the way that I do my work with it has never been seen or heard before, because I have never been seen or heard before. You have never been seen or heard before. We are new expressions of God. We are new expressions of the source. So of course it's going to be new. And the mind does not do well with newness. And that's where we're constantly in battle with that, because our mind is telling us, oh, you've never seen that before. Like, that's not going to work. And the body's like, okay, well, just keep on going. Your body is safe. You feel safe. You got that sacral response, and just keep on doing that thing. I know, and it has happened to me time and time and time again, whenever my mind starts freaking out about an idea that comes from my body and I start executing it in a way that has seen before, like maybe I saw somebody on Instagram or I saw somebody on YouTube. And so now what I do is I have so many people on mute and I've unfollowed so many people, because in order to do the thing that your soul came here to do, you cannot be constantly taking in other people's information. It won't work. I have tried it. We can call it inspiration. Like, there's a difference between inspiration and then how it affects what you're doing. And the moment that it's no longer inspiring and it makes you feel like you're compromising, that's when you have to stop intaking the information. And you have to have that firm boundary, because if you don't, you will never do the thing that you came here to do. You just won't, because you're going to be living too much out of fear that, oh, it's going to be rejected. No one's going to like it. Or they really like that person's thing, so let me do it that way. The mind will just do it will play every trick in the book. It will bring back memories and stories and try to flood your body with the fight or flight feeling to make you feel like the decision you're about to make is unsafe. And sometimes that decision is totally unsafe, but that's where you have to use your intuition to discern is this thing actually going to kill me? So I'm actually in the process of enrolling in a program that I do all the time called Soulfully Selling, where I teach business owners and budding entrepreneurs how to sell using their human design, because selling is so easy when we understand how to leverage the stories that are already living within our chart. We don't have to use all these slimy strategies, call to actions, grow your email list, No. We don't have to do any of that. Just follow your human design. It will lead you that way. And one thing that I have been kind of ruminating on is that everyone is always kind of celebrating these monetary milestones, which is a beautiful thing to do, but in some ways can leave us very stressed if we're not hitting those things. We may feel that we're not successful. So normally I, you know, would open this up to as many people as register, but I woke up and I said to myself, I actually don't need the affirmation of the money. I truthfully just want to pour into only 14 people that feel called and ready to work with me in this capacity. And that doesn't make sense in the mind, because the mind is like, okay, well, if we open it to all the people, you can make more money. You can have a bigger impact. You can do this. You can do that. And I had to quiet the mind and say, but my body is tired. My body only wants to serve 14 people. I don't know where that number came from, but it came from the body. And the body said, we're just ready to serve 14 people deeply. And that's the cutoff. So if 15 people register, they're going to have to wait for the next round. And of course, it doesn't make sense from the business standpoint, because, you know, in business, you want to make sales, you want to make money. Yes, you want to serve, but ultimately, you know, you don't really have a business unless you're generating some sort of revenue to keep that business afloat. And so I just sat with that for a little bit and just thought, wow, this is truly what it means to be sovereign. You're sovereign from what the mind is telling you. You're sovereign from what the world is telling you. You're sovereign from whatever it is that you even learned before. Because like I said earlier, like we have to give ourselves that room to change. And from one night to the next, I was like all about, you know, hitting these high figure numbers. And now I'm just like, no, not anymore. I don't really know why. And that's not really for me to get an answer, you know?
I really appreciate you sharing that because I feel that can be applied literally to any kind of like goal setting or even the idea of goal setting. You know, like maybe that's not for you, like going around and setting goals for yourself in a particular way. And my partner and I actually had this conversation yesterday about money. He's a 5'1". We're both manifesting generators. He's a 5'1", and he's like, you know, kind of on the outlier, super, I wouldn't say anti-capitalist, but not pro-capitalist for sure. I don't know. Like, I'm not pro-capitalist either in the, you know, sixth sense of the word. But yeah, so it's just interesting because the way that he has this relationship, the way he talks about money, is very different than mine, you know, and we can like coexist and talk about it, but it doesn't change anything in terms, it's like he's following his energy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And what's coming through, even though anybody can come and look on the outside and say, what are you crazy? Like, you're not going to make money, or what are you going to do? Like, you're going to be in poverty doing XYZ. And I think a lot of people have those voices running within them constantly that is stopping them from doing the thing that they want to do. What helps you to say yes to that voice that's telling you only 14 people versus, hey, I need to make so much bank this month?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, for me, I'm just always returning back to the body. Always. I'm always asking my body, how are you feeling about this decision? And if your shoulders are to your ears, you know that that's not a decision that's going to make you feel relaxed. But if your shoulders are falling away from your ears and your mind is just being like, you are a dummy for this, and your body's like, but I feel so good, then then that is the decision. And I don't think that we acknowledge the intelligence that lives within, I call our bodies these time traveling machines, because our body can literally move into a timeline where we have already made that decision, and it's bringing back us information to say, oh yeah, that decision totally served you, or oh no, that decision did not serve you. I mean, you can do it right now. Like, you can close your eyes and think about a decision that you want to make, right? And then tell your body to move into a timeline where you have made that decision, and start just paying attention to how your body feels. If your body feels relaxed, then great. If your body does not feel relaxed, then that's where you kind of have to go back and journal and say, wow, I did this experiment and my body feels totally tense. Why does it feel totally tense? And just be open to the messages that come through you. Once we start feeling and loving and really being intimate with our bodies, that's when we can start living in our purpose. Because I would also like to remind everyone that, like, our purpose and our soul purpose lives in the solar plexus chakra, if we're talking about the Hindu chakra system. But we cannot get to the solar plexus chakra until we are in alignment in our root chakra and our sacral chakra. And those are the two chakras that are normally keeping us in this hamster wheel. How do we survive? And then trying to find vices to like not be here in the sacral. But once we're in tune and in true alignment with those two chakra systems, the root is like, I'm safe in my body and I'm always taken care of. And then my sacral chakra is, I'm intimate with the God within myself and the God within other people. Now I can illuminate and radiate out into the collective why I'm here. But we can't do that if we're still on the hamster wheel of, how am I going to survive? How am I going to feed myself? Okay, well, I don't know. So I'm just going to move into this vice of constant, you know, sex and drugs and drinking and like all the unconscious ways to try to find intimacy, because we're so afraid of being intimate with our own selves. So always, honestly, it's just always returning back into the body. And as a 3-5, you know, I really came here to experiment with what it means to be embodied in my experience and then share what that means with the collective.
Beautiful. Oh, Jazz. Well, speaking of food and feeding yourself, we're at the end here, and I would love to know, what is one thing that is feeding your wild, whether that's body, mind, or soul right now?
Honestly, silence, which is something that I have been afraid of for my entire life, like not having anything on in the background, not having a podcast on, not writing anything, just pure and utter silence. Because you just don't know what's going to come through in that moment. And so I've really been trying to honor that calling because my body is really wanting that silence and I'm not sure why, but just having more and more of those moments of silence. So normally what I would do is right before bath, I would put on a podcast or music or something. And now I'm not doing that. I'm doing that in silence. Usually when I'm making food, I'll do the same thing. So now it's in silence. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not sure why, but I know that my body is going through some sort of detox and mutation process, and it wants to be able to receive more messages. And it can't do that because there's so many messages that are being flooded to it constantly. So silence is really feeding me right now.
I hear that. You're making it sound very delicious.
It's not. It doesn't feel delicious just yet.
No.
But I'm sure it will be because the body is just like, oh my gosh, this feels good. But the mind's like, we need to consume something. We need to make this time useful. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. So beautiful. And I know people are going to be like, wait, what was that offering? That sounds amazing. And I want to get to know Jazz more because there's so much more, you guys. So what is the best way for listeners to get in touch with you and your work?
Yeah. So honestly, the first way that I always invite anyone to get acquainted with my voice, my work, my translation of human design is to get a human design soul map. And a human design soul map is something that I created that it's essentially a written reading of your chart. And that's always like the prerequisite to work with me because I want you to know what you are working with and how you feel about working within what you found out about your chart. So a human design soul map is always the way, like the doorway to entrance. And then once you receive that, then the two ways that you can work with me are through my monthly membership, Rooted to Receive, where we focus all about the divine feminine and embodying the experience of being in our human design experiment. And then Soulfully Selling, like I mentioned earlier, which is for my budding and seasoned entrepreneurs that really just want to start creating soul offerings based off of their purpose and make money doing it. So I work with a lot of spiritual entrepreneurs and maybe not spiritual entrepreneurs, but they're in the wellness space. And they're just really tired of huffing and puffing it out, trying to create offerings that are not serving or selling. They don't feel connected to, but they're trying to follow a different strategy that other people said that they should. And honestly, mind-blowing when I share this information with them because it has completely changed my business. My business went from zero to we're about to hit $120,000 in revenue in 8 months because of this knowledge. And I'm just like waiting for someone to be like, this doesn't work. And right. No one has done that yet. No one has said that yet. So that's currently enrolling. Applications are due November 8th to join us in that 14 space container. But if you don't, you know, if that's not a thing that feels supportive for you right now, then Rooted to Receive is always this like very luscious and juicy, divine, feminine, pleasurable place that we really feel into what it feels like to live in our design because it's not easy. Like changing something is not easy. And so we need these somatic co-regulating spaces to move through the discomfort.
Yeah. Is your program, does it open up every year or do you have that multiple times a year?
So there's no schedule because I'm a 3-5.
So, tell me about it.
So it's like, I tried to do it by the schedule. And then when the schedule came, I was like, oh, I don't feel like doing this right now. So it's open right now and it's a 6 to 8 week container. So probably around the next time that it'll be open again is probably in the end of January, mid-February. So if you can't catch us this round, I hope that my sacral will still be lit up to keep sharing this information because it feels so good right now to keep sharing and having people. Because the look on the face of someone that has just been struggling and finally isn't is just sweet satisfaction for a third line. If you're a third line, you know what I mean, because you know what struggle, that struggle feeling feels like. And to have that be rebirthed into something that was worth fighting for, there's honestly nothing sweeter than that.
Oh, yes. I feel like you get me, girl.
Yes, you totally get it. Oh,
yes. Get it. Well, I'm really stoked for all that you have and everybody listening, make sure to check you out. Are you on Instagram as well?
Yeah, we're on Instagram. My Instagram handle is @themoon.mother.
Perfect. Jazz, I would love to have you on again if you're up for it.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like human design is one of those things where there's so much. And even though I feel like what we did today was a beautiful beginning, beautiful, beautiful beginning. And I just would invite you, if you made it all the way here, to run your chart and really start diving deep into it. But there is so many different places that we can go. And if you're feeling this urge to like learn it, there's so many different practitioners and teachers out there that can give you that deeper dive as well. So yeah, I would love to come back.
Yes, I hope next time if your authority gives you a big thumbs up, then I'd love to have to dive even deeper. And everyone, I would love to hear from all of you listeners, your ahas, if I know there were some ahas there because I had some ahas. So we would love to hear from you. Make sure to reach out to both Jazz and I on Instagram or all the places and make sure to check out those links below. Jazz, thank you so much for being just such an incredible, beautiful, creative light in this world and doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey there, I made something for you. One of the biggest challenges that I hear from people is that they are feeling stuck when it comes to their health. You're a smart, capable, and creative change maker, right? And you know what you should be doing for your health. So what gives? Well, it's not about willpower. And I wanted to create something that would help you to unlearn the things that are keeping you stuck so that you can get out of your own way and master the mindset of health. That's why I created Wildly Unstuck, where you'll learn the top 5 things that I have found to sabotage your health goals and what to do about them. You'll learn what it really takes to become committed and unstoppable when it comes to your health goals and find the clarity you've been looking for so you know exactly what to do to get back into alignment. And I made it totally free. So if this is something that you want to dive into and create a vision and soul goals for your health and your life and bring your gifts to the world because we know that we need it, then I invite you to join us in Wildly Unstuck. You can find that at wildlyrooted.com/unstuck. I'll see you on the other side.